search. They gave him clothes. Orange shirt, orange pants, orange clogs, or one clog because of the boot. They had to dress him. They took him to a room. They called it a pod. It wasn't a cell like he'd imagined. It didn't have bars. It had a cot, a toilet, a sink. No window.
"You'll get up when we tell you. You'll make your bed and wait till we take you in for breakfast. You eat what we give you. Since you got your ass kicked, you'll get a check at the infirmary before you talk to the head shrink who's going to ask you about your fucking feelings. You do what you're told when you're told. Give me any shit, you'll pay for it."
Marble Eyes stepped to the door.
"Your father's a great man. You're nothing."
He went out. The door locked with a click that boomed in Zane's ears. And the lights went out. He took one limping step, feeling for a wall, ramming his shin against the side of the cot. He crawled onto it as the trembles turned to shudders, as his breathing devolved into a kind of mewling. He tried to curl up, just to hold on to himself, but he couldn't manage it. He wanted to sleep, just sleep, just sleep, but the pain broke through the surface. He let the tears come now. No one to see, no one to care. The sobs racked him, hurt his chest, his belly, his throat. But when he'd exhausted them, the panic went with them. He lay, body throbbing, spirit dead. Hours before, just hours before, he'd kissed the girl. He'd looked at the stars and danced under colored lights. Now, his life was over. The dark, the solitude became comfort. He clung to them, because he began to fear what his life would become once that door unlocked again. Chapter 6 Lee ran on 2 hours sleep and black coffee. He'd made his case to his lieutenant, to the DA, to Child Services, and to the judge who'd signed Zane Bigelow's arrest warrant. Now, in Lakeview, he sat in Chief Tom Bost's office, a man he knew and, up until now, had respected.
"This isn't your case. It's not Asheville's case. It's not CID's case. It's my case."
"It was,"
Lee spoke mildly for now.
"Now it's not. You shoved that boy through the system, Tom. You cut corners and bent the rules and shoved him through when he was hurt. You called in favors, pulled strings to get him slapped into buncombe."
Red flags flew on Bost's cheeks.
"That boy put his mother, his sister, his father in the damn hospital. I did my job, and don't you come into my town and say different."
"I'm saying different."
"It's going to cost you, Lee. Graham and Eliza are half out of their minds about Britt. I don't know what the hell got into Emily Walker. I thought she had more sense. But she's going to face child abduction charges, and when Graham gets done, you'll lose your badge for being part of it."
Lee set a copy of the first entry of Zane's notebook on Tom's desk.
"Read that. Zane wrote that. You can see the date. Read it."
"Every minute you hold that girl from her parents makes it worse."
But he snatched up the copy.
"This is bullshit, Lee. That boy is sick."
"His parents are. I contacted the resort where they went on December 26th of that year. I talked to their butler, the housekeeper, the manager. You know what they all said, Tom? Every one of them? They said Zane had a tumble off his bike, broke his nose, hurt himself. He came in that way. He had to stay in his room. They were ordered by Graham Bigelow not to disturb him. What did he tell you back then, Tom?"
"It's a mistake. Zane had a fall on the slopes."
"They told Emily and the grandparents Zane had the flu that Christmas. They wouldn't let anyone see him. Germs, Bigelow said. I've got their statements, too."
Disgust in the motion, he pulled papers out of the file he held, tossed them on Bost's desk.
"I've got Britt's statement."
He tossed another.
"Everything that boy wrote there is God's truth. You didn't begin to do your goddamn job on this."
"Don't tell me about my job," Bost hurled back. "I know Graham and Eliza."
"Do you, Tom?"
chin jutted, Bost jabbed a finger at Lee.
You're trying to tell me Graham beats his wife, his kids, and they all lie to cover it? That not once until last night have we gotten a 911 from that house?
That's right. Zane started writing it down that day, the day you've got there, and he kept writing it. The punches, the slaps, the fear, the threats. And the mother, she went along. I had her 13-year-old girl tell me how after her father knocked her mother around, they'd have sex, and he'd buy his wife something special. I had that kid look me in the eye and tell me she thinks her mom liked it. Britt's been traumatized. She, damn fucking right she has.
Mild was done.
Look back, for Christ's sake. The kid calls for help, and when you get there, he's put her out so you can't talk to her. Zane's lying at the bottom of the steps, broken arm, concussion, torn ligaments, but you don't listen. The two adults gave the same story. Two people I know. I'll give you that, but you don't take a statement from the boy? You don't question the father demanding his son's arrest, how he pushed it through? How you helped push it through? How he wouldn't even give the kid a night in the hospital? Didn't arrange for a child advocate, a lawyer, nothing. Just lock him up? He said it was probably drugs, but the kid's clean. Did you bother reading the tox results?
Lee yanked another paper out of the file, slapped it on the desk.
Clean.
He snatched up one of the papers.
This is what Britt says happened last night. Read it. Put it the hell together.
I've known Graham for over 20 years, for God's sake. Eliza even longer. I've had dinner at their house. I've been in that house, Lee, and never saw a sign of this.
Read it.
When he had, Tom rose, turned to his window.
I believed him.
You weren't there. You didn't see them. I believed him. If you'd asked me 24 hours ago to name the perfect family in Lakeview, I'd have said the Bigelows. He raked both hands through his hair.
Most would have said just the same. God damn it, Lee, they'd have said the same. Now I think of little things, Jesus Christ. How he'd go on about how proud he was of Zane, but then cut that down just a little. How he had to keep on him to study because he had pipe dreams about playing pro baseball. How he had to be nagged to do chores, or how he talked back to his mother. Little things. You don't have kids yet, Lee. You expect some griping about kids, especially teenagers.
He turned back.
Eliza was president of the damn PTA. She, God.
There's more you'll want to read. I'm leaving copies for your files.
Lee got to his feet.
I'm going to Lakeview Terrace and arresting Graham Bigelow on charges of child and spousal abuse, on assault, on child endangerment. I'm arresting Eliza Bigelow on charges of child abuse and child endangerment. This was just a heads up.
I believed him.
There was a plea in the tone now.
I believed Zane was a danger to them and to himself.
You were wrong. Zane's going to be processed out, and his record will be expunged. Emily Walker will have temporary custody of both minor children. I'm going to do everything I can to make that permanent. Read the rest, he said, and walked out.
10 minutes later, with his usual partner and four uniformed cops, Lee rang the bell in Lakeview Terrace. He pegged the guy who answered as a lawyer and held up the warrants.
Asheville Police.
I'm the Bigelow's attorney. I have calls in right now to your captain, to Asheville's mayor. You're holding a minor child against her parents' wishes.
Read the warrant.
Lee muscled by him into the big, high-ceilinged foyer and straight into the living room where Graham Bigelow surged to his feet.
Graham Bigelow, you're under arrest for child and spousal abuse, child endangerment, assault.
As he spoke, Lee spun Graham around to cuff him. Graham spun back. Punched out.
Add resisting and assault on a police officer. You have the right to remain silent.
Graham, cooperate,
the lawyer ordered, while Lee read Graham his rights.
Don't say anything. I'll have this dealt with quickly.
But Graham ignored him, punched out again until two uniforms moved in to restrain him.
You can't do this,
Eliza, her face bearing bruises, clutched her hands between her breasts.
This is insane. Zane...
That boat won't float, Mrs. Bigelow, and you are under arrest for child abuse, child endangerment, accessory to assault, for lying in a police report.
She batted him away as he Mirandized her.
Don't you touch me, Graham!
Eliza, try to stay calm. Say nothing. It's not necessary to cuff her,
the lawyer insisted.
Disagree,
Lee said, and did so. It gave him enormous pleasure to perp walk her out of the house, to see neighbors come out to stare, to put a hand on her head to load her into the car. He had Graham loaded in a separate car. No more talking. No more coordinating stories. No more making their kids' lives a living hell.
We will have your badge for this, the lawyer warned, and file a lawsuit that will bury your department and you personally. Yeah, you try that. Don't attempt to speak to my clients. They have nothing to say. Fine. They can sit in a cell until you work that out. I've got somewhere else to be anyway.
Zane didn't have to make the bed when they told him to get up. He'd lain on top of the covers. He hadn't slept. He tried to eat breakfast without thinking about it, without looking up or at any of the other prisoners. Some of them talked. Some talked trash. Some ate like they were starving. Some barely ate at all. The big room, like a dining hall, he guessed, echoed a lot, the dull beat of plastic spoons and forks against the plates, the scrape of chairs, the mutter of voices. Somebody swiped the biscuit off his plate. He didn't care, and his lack of objection earned him a kick in his ankle boot under the table and a snicker. After breakfast, they filed out as they had filed in. They took him to the infirmary. The doctor there read a chart. He guessed somebody had sent one from the ER. He frowned a lot, then asked a lot of questions. Blurred vision? No. Headache? Yes. He frowned more when he took off Zane's shirt and saw the bruises on his belly, his ribs. Asked more questions. He took off the boot, examined the ankle, elevated it, put ice on it as he examined the splint. More questions. He probed gently at Zane's nose, his cheeks, under his eyes.
Was your nose broken previously?
Yes.
How?
My father's fist.
The prison doctor looked directly for a long time in Zane's eyes.
Does your father beat you?
Yes.
Have you reported the beatings to the authorities?
He's the authority.
He thought he heard a sigh. A male nurse had to give him a sponge bath because he couldn't manage a shower.
You should have been kept at the hospital overnight for observation, for pain management. I'm going to recommend you be transferred back under Dr. Marshall's care.
They won't. My father's chief surgical resident. He wants me here.
He gave Zane a crutch. He could only use one because of the splint, but it helped. So did whatever he gave him for the pain.
I'm going to have you taken back to your room for rest. Dr. Lorett, the center's therapist, will come to you later this morning. Keep your ankle and your arm elevated.
So he went back to the solitude, the quiet. He could hear things through the door. Voices, movement, snapped orders, maybe someone dragging a bucket and mop. He drifted a little. Not really sleeping, but a zoning out, back in, back out. When he heard the locks, he closed his eyes. He hoped the therapist would think him asleep, just leave him alone. He didn't want to talk about it. He'd exhausted everything he had to say already in the infirmary. But he felt the bed give under someone's weight. Opened his eyes. He saw a man who looked as tired as he felt, one who hadn't shaved in a couple of days. Brown hair and eyes, a suit and tie.
Zane, I'm Detective Keller, Asheville PD.
A cop, he thought. Another cop. And closed his eyes again.
Zane.
He felt a hand on his arm, not restraining, just making contact.
I'm here to take you out.
Out where?
Out of here. Zane, your sister came to see me.
His eyes flashed open again.
Britt? Is she okay? Is she...
She's okay. She's really smart, really brave. Your aunt brought her to see me last night.
Emily. Britt got to Emily.
Now he squeezed his eyes shut against the tears.
And they got to me. Zane, Dave got your notebooks. I read them. I read every page. I'm sorry I couldn't get you out sooner. It took some time.
And in those brown eyes, the stranger's eyes, Zane saw what he'd seen in Dave's. Belief.
I'm going to get out on bail?
No, just out. The charges are dropped. We can talk later, okay? Let's get you out. I've done all the paperwork so we can just get you dressed and go.
He started to shake, couldn't stop.
I can leave. I can just leave.
Try some good, easy breaths,
Lee told him and took his hand.
Just easy breathing. You should never have been here, Zane. Now I've got some clothes for you, or Emily got them for you. She got new, hope she got the sizes right. She thought you wouldn't want to wear whatever you had on when you came in. We went for sweatpants,
he continued, talking casually as he got the shopping bags off the floor.
A button shirt, boxers, sandals.
I don't understand.
I know. Let me give you a hand, help you change.
It wasn't so embarrassing because the cop kept talking as he changed the orange pants for sweats, the orange top for a blue shirt, slipped the sandal onto his good foot.
Pants are a little short, but they work.
They said I had to.
You don't. Come on.
He got an arm around Zane, helped him stand, helped him with the crutch. He picked up the bag, walked Zane to the door, banged twice. The door opened. The guard stepped back. He smelled piney cleaner, maybe bleach. He knew he was shaking again, but the cop didn't say anything.
Who are you?
Detective Keller. Lee. I'm Lee.
Graham will stop you. He'll...
He won't. I arrested him. And your mother.
Both Zane's knees buckled. Lee just held him up, kept walking. Slow, but kept walking.
Breathe now. Keep that easy breathing going. He's not going to hurt you or Britt again. You were smart to write it down, Zane. That was smart.
Nobody stopped them. Guards opened doors, let them pass through without a word. Then the sun was in his eyes. He saw the gate. And through the gate, he saw Britt, saw Emily. He wanted to run, tried to walk faster.
Easy. We'll get there.
He hurt her. He hit her. Her face.
She's going to be fine. She's got a good story to tell you. She busted out of the hospital. You got a hell of a baby sister. Just a few more steps.
They called his name. Emily was sobbing and calling. But Britt didn't cry. Not yet. She just kept calling his name. The gates clanged open, and when he walked through, they surrounded him.
Oh, baby. Oh, Zane. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Emily lifted his face, stroked her fingers over him.
I'm so sorry.
When he only shook his head, she held him again, held him and Britt close and tight.
Let's go home,
she said.
I can't go back there. Please, please, I can't go back there. No, honey, no. To the lake house. Grams and Pop should be there by now. We're going home. Our home now. I'm going to take care of you now. Here, you and Britt sit in the back. I'll ride up front with Lee. Lee, who I owe a really big home-cooked meal to, a really good bottle of wine, and hell, sexual favors if he wants them.
He laughed, shook his head.
Just doing my job.
They're my life now. You saved my life.
They helped Zane into the car, and Britt cuddled up against him.
Does it hurt?
He gave the hand that held his a squeeze.
Not anymore.
Lee listened to the siblings talk, fill each other in. Resilience, he thought. Thy name is youth. Both kids would have some hard bumps yet, need some therapy, he imagined. But they'd be okay. Zane actually laughed when Britt told him about sneaking out of her hospital room in her bare feet. Lee noted she, for now anyway, edited out the part about her father being there, threatening her when she woke. Just as Zane did his own editing.
Was it awful in there, in that place?
No, it wasn't so bad.
For a second, Zane's gaze met Lee's in the rear view.
Not much different than being locked in my room back at the house.
Lee took us to a shelter for the night. Well, it was really morning by then. It was sad, but not. A lot of women and kids in there who get hurt at home, like us. But it gives them a safe place. They were nice to us. Emily said we're going to make a donation in all our names, like a thank you.
I guess she can't give them sexual favors.
With a big, rolling laugh, eyes sparkling with tears in that laugh, Emily looked back at him. Smartass.
Emily, don't be sorry. Don't ever be sorry.
She reached back for his hand.
You either.
He settled back, his good arm around his sister. He had a bad moment when he saw the lake, but he pushed it away because the car didn't head toward Lakeview Terrace, but the other side. The safe side. He saw the water, the woods, the cabins, the flowers, the boats, and then the rental car in Emily's driveway. His grandparents on the front porch, already running toward the car. They cried. Zane guessed everybody would cry for a while off and on.
I'm going with Lee for a little while, Emily told him. I'll be back. With pizza. I think it's pizza night.
Could I, Detective Keller, could I talk to you for a minute first?
Zane asked.
Sure.
Okay, everybody in the house,
his grandmother took over.
Let's make a picnic lunch. Come on, sweetie.
She drew an obviously reluctant Brit toward the house.
You didn't say what you arrested them for. For what they did to you and your sister. Eliza didn't hit us.
First name, Lee noted. Not our mother.
She put those grooves in your face.
Zane touched the scratches with his fingertips.
I guess so. It's hard to remember.
She let it happen. That makes her complicit. She abused you, Zane, just like Graham did.
Zane wanted to believe. God, he wanted to believe.
He knows a lot of people. He can get really good lawyers.
Trust me.
Lee gave him a steady look that eased the cramping in Zane's gut.
I'm pretty good at my job. Emily's going with me because I think she can help convince your mother to tell the truth.
Then she won't go to jail, but...
A lighter sentence if she tells the truth, cooperates. But she's not going to be able to take you away from Emily or your grandparents. For one thing, both you and Britt are old enough to choose. For another, we're going to prove she's unfit.
You don't need to worry about this. Will you come back and tell me what happens?
Yes. Are you prepared to go to court? To stand before a judge or jury and tell what happened?
Yes, I want to.
It rushed through him, that want, like a wave of strength.
I want to look him in the face and say what he did. I want to.
Good, because you're going to get your chance. I've got to get to it now.
Sir, thank you. Thank you for getting me out, for keeping Britt safe. I'm never going to forget it.
You take care of yourself, Zane. Let's get you inside so your grandparents can fuss over you.
They're good at it. Sometimes I'd imagine we could live here,
he said as Lee helped him up to the porch.
After one of the times, I'd think what it would be like to live here.
Now you will.
He opened the screen door.
Can you make it the rest of the way?
Yeah, I can make it.
I bet you can.
I bet you will, Lee thought.
Tell Emily we gotta get moving.
They talked about it from every angle on the drive to the station house in Asheville, and while Lee's impression of Emily as a tough woman who handled herself only strengthened, he still hesitated at the door of the interview room.
You're sure you want to do this?
Lee.
Emily laid a hand on his arm.
I am doing it.
It may not do any good other than getting it out of my own craw, but I'm doing it.
When you're finished, or you've just had enough, bang on the door.
Got it. He opened the door, signaled the cop in the room to come out. Emily walked in, and the door closed behind her. Eliza sat at a small table, back straight, cuffed hands folded on the table. Her face carried the night's violence, but her eyes, Emily noted, burned with angry pride.
It's about damn time.
Her stomach hurt. Emily noted it with a detached interest as she sat across from her sister.
It really is, isn't it?
I've been in this hellhole for hours. I'm being treated like a criminal, and they won't tell me where Graham is, what's happening. I need you to find out. My lawyer assures me he'll have all these ridiculous charges dismissed, and at the very least, we'll be released on bond until we can clear our names. But in the meantime, I need some of my things. I'll give you a list.
Fascinating, Emily thought. She's exactly the same as she's always been. But I'm not.
No, you won't. You're under the mistaken impression I'm here to help you. I'm not. And the fact you haven't asked about your children only cements that.
My children, and their hardly helpless babies, are conspiring against me, against Graham. Zane's dangerous, Emily. You have no idea what—
Shut up!
Eliza's head snapped back when Emily lashed out with the two words.
Another word against Zane, one goddamn single word against that boy, and I walk away. You'll have no one. I know what happened last night, what happened over Christmas year before last. I know everything, so don't bother with the show, Eliza.
To help push her temper under control, Emily sat back.
They've allowed me to come in and speak with you. It's just you and me. They can't listen. It's against the law. I need to know why. Why you'd do this to Zane and Emily. Why you'd let Graham do this to them. To you. I need to know why.
Stop being an idiot and do something useful for once. I need my skincare products. The fact that you'd take the word of a couple of recalcitrant teenagers over your own sister just proves what a fool you are.
Cut the crap. I'm not getting anything for you, doing anything for you.
Worried about your face, Eliza? Your skin tone under the black eye and bruises? Just think what it's going to look like after a few years in prison.
I'm not going to prison.
But her lips trembled.
You are. How long and what kind depends on what you do. What you say when the police come in.
Our lawyer—
Stop right there.
To push the point, Emily shot up a finger.
That's your first mistake, and it's a big one. You're not stupid, so think a minute about sharing a lawyer with the man who gave you that eye. You've got a chance, but it won't hold for long. You better get yourself your own lawyer. And the one thing I will do is give you the names of a couple of good criminal lawyers I found when I thought I'd need them to help Zane. He won't need them now.
Zane needs to be locked up. He—
Don't!
As Emily pushed to her feet, panic rang in Eliza's voice for the first time.
Don't leave me here.
Then stop the bullshit.
How do I know you're not recording this?
Rising, Emily took off her shirt, turned a circle.
You and me, Eliza. Graham pays the lawyer, and who do you think he'll represent if it comes down to choices? Make yours. And when I walk out of here, I'll contact one who'll represent you.
She put her shirt on, sat again.
We were raised in the same house by the same people. We were raised to respect ourselves. Why have you let Graham abuse you, your children? Why didn't you come to me, to anyone, for help?
You don't understand anything, and it's our business, our marriage. We love each other.
A man who hits you doesn't love you.
Oh, for God's sake.
Eliza actually cast her eyes toward the ceiling.
Always so ordinary. Always.
Face alive again, Eliza leaned toward her sister.
I am not ordinary. Graham and I have passion, something else you don't understand. You married a loser, then couldn't even keep him.
His so-called passion put you in the hospital.
Things went too far. He isn't allowed to hit me in the face. That's the agreement.
Honestly, Emily thought, she'd honestly believed she couldn't be shocked again. Yet she was.
You have an agreement about where he's allowed to hit you? And when we put this mess behind us, he'll have to make breaking the agreement up to me. But there were circumstances.
She hadn't believed it, not really. Hadn't believed Britt, not in her heart, about that single, sick, sorry thing.
You like it. You get off on it. Don't be such a prude. We have passion. Even after nearly 18 years, we have real passion for each other. He has a demanding, stressful career, and he needs that passion at home. You think you can judge me? Look at what I have. The biggest, most beautiful house in Lakeview Terrace, vacations wherever I want to go, a husband who buys me gorgeous jewelry, an exciting sex life.
She tossed up her hands, looked at her sister with a kind of cold pity.
What have you got, Emily? An old house, a bunch of bungalows you have to rent out, and no man who wants you.
They sat, Emily thought, debated this with her battered-faced sister in prison garb, with a police guard on the door. And still Eliza saw herself as superior in every way. And the single thing Eliza had that Emily had envied hadn't made Eliza's list.
You know, Eliza, there's something else you have you didn't put on that list. 2 children. I never wanted them.
She shrugged them off as she might an old sweater.
I kept my part of the agreement. 2 children. And I did everything perfectly. They had everything. Good clothes, a good school, dance lessons for the girls, sports for the boy, music lessons for both. Though Zane's pathetic there. Healthy meals, discipline, education, and the proper amount of recreational time.
Yes, yes. Yes, she could still be shocked, Emily realized. They're part of the agreement.
How would it look if we had no children? A man in Graham's position needs to present the right image.
So they're part of the image. It didn't matter to you when he hit Zane?
A disrespectful child needs to be punished. Zane's nearly grown in any case.
So you've basically finished with him.
He would have been sent to the right university, given every opportunity. He'd have studied medicine, become a doctor. Now?
She shrugged again, another old sweater discarded.
I have no idea what Graham will want to do. We'll have to discuss it.
You and Graham will no longer have anything to say about either of the children. They're with me now.
Please, as if any court would take them from 2 parents of our reputation and status.
Exactly. Your reputation and status are shredded. The cops know everything.
Teenagers' words against ours.
There's also the statements from the staff of the resort, where you took Zane after Graham beat him. Didn't think of that, did you? She added as she saw the flicker in Eliza's eyes.
Didn't consider that lie might come back to bite your sorry ass one day.
And there's so much more, but I'll leave that to the police to tell you and whatever lawyer you go with. You may have a chance to make a deal, to plead down some of the charges against you. Either way, when you go to court on this, I'll be one of the people testifying against you and against Graham. Eliza's face went hot under the bruising.
You were always a bitch. Always jealous of me. That's what this all comes down to. You've always been jealous because I'm prettier, popular. I married a doctor.
No, Eliza, in fact, I never was. And now I can't even feel pity for you. I came in here to try to convince you to tell the truth, to make some sort of deal so you only spent a few years rather than a decade or more in prison. But after this, I just don't care. I won't wish you good luck, Eliza, she said as she rose, because I don't. She read fear clearly, tilted her head.
I wonder,
did you and Graham have an agreement on what you'd do if you ended up like this? Did either of you consider it might fall apart? And what you'd do when it did? Now she shrugged. I bet he's thinking about it now. Turning, she lifted her hand to bang on the door.
Contact the lawyer.
Emily glanced back. Which
The one you have. I want my own lawyer.
Okay. I'll do that. I'll do that, Eliza. It's the last thing I'll do for you. She banged on the door, and when it opened, left without looking back. It took time, but Lee didn't mind keeping Graham waiting. The DA pushed hard for holding him without bail and used the two minors, seriously injured and in potential jeopardy, to good effect. It hadn't hurt to have Chief Bost speak out. So he'd bought a little time, time enough for Eliza Bigelow's new lawyer to catch up, to push for a deal. By the time he walked into interview, his gut told him he had it solid. Just like it told him Bigelow probably hadn't been fully what you'd call forthcoming with his attorney. He started the recording, sat.
"You'll address your questions to me," the lawyer told Lee.
"Sure. As you're aware, Mrs. Bigelow has her own attorney. I've just come from speaking to him and her. She rolled on you, Bigelow. Got herself a deal."
"Spousal privilege does not apply," Lee interrupted, "if the communication between spouses pertains to the planning or execution of a crime. Mrs. Bigelow opted for a reduction in charges. Can't blame her."
Graham leaned over to murmur to his lawyer.
"Mr. Bigelow wants to speak with his wife. You'll have to take that up with her lawyer and the warden of the North Carolina Correctional Institution for Women, who will be hosting her for the next 5 to 10. You know, she might have slipped by with 3 to 5 if it wasn't for her part in lying to have her severely injured minor son locked up. That and holding down her minor daughter while her husband pumped the kid he'd just knocked around with a sedative so she couldn't talk. That upped things. Your client, on the other hand,"
Lee opened his file,
"he's going for the full ride.
We will contend that Eliza Bigelow was coerced, and due to her own injuries inflicted by her son, was emotionally and physically compromised."
"You can try that, but the shrink cleared her. Oh, she's got issues, but once she decided to tell the truth, a whole lot came out. One being striking his minor son in the stomach with the son's baseball bat after a game your client deigned to attend, and wherein the minor son had the nerve to strike out. He was 11. That's what we like to call assault with a deadly. My client denies any and all charges. We've filed for another bail hearing." "Yeah, I got that notice. Before you do, let's just move ahead a few years. I want to be sure your client's fully informed you about the events taking place from December 23rd to December 30th, 1998.
Lee took papers from the file as he spoke.
"How on December 23rd of that year, your client's two minor children came home from school to find their father once again hitting their mother. On this occasion, the minor son attempted to stop the assault and was in turn beaten unconscious. My client refutes that allegation, and in the strongest terms. The minor child, 14 at this time, was subsequently locked in his room, initially denied medical treatment for his injuries, which included a broken nose, bruised ribs, black eyes, a concussion. The nose, the good doctor here later set, without any pain medication. The child was also denied food until the following day.
It's obvious Zane is suffering from some sort of mental breakdown," the lawyer began.
"You got kids, counselor?"
"That's hardly relevant.
Humor me.
I have two sons, 18 and 20.
Keep them in mind when you read these. Apparently, Dr. Bigelow didn't want to miss his holiday trip that year, despite his son's condition. I have statements from several members of the staff of the High Country Resort and Spa, where the family stayed from December 26th through December 30th.
With his eyes on Graham's, Lee pushed them across the table.
"Kid was supposed to have the flu. That's the story they told the family when they kept him locked up over Christmas. What you're reading is the story they told the staff at the resort."
Graham leaned over again, but the lawyer held up a hand to hold him off.
"A boy recovering from an illness might easily fall off his bike.
And here are the statements from neighbors, teachers, the chief of police of Lakeview, the minor's aunt. How does a kid get the flu, fall off his bike, get confined to his room at the resort, and manage to fall off his skis?
Lee shoved over more papers.
Then there's Mrs. Bigelow's statement confirming the beating, the confinement, the conflicting stories, and this.
He laid a copy of Zane's first notebook entry in front of the lawyer.
Written by a 14-year-old boy in fear and pain. The details all match. That's the night he started writing it out, Dr. Bigelow. The night Zane started documenting your systematic abuse. I need to consult with my client. This interview is over. You can consult with your piece of shit client all you want. I'm making it my mission in life to see he's put away for the maximum sentence allowed by law. My goddamn mission. I'll bury you. All of you. Be quiet, Graham. Don't say anything. You took their childhood. Their safety. I gave them life. You gave them terror and pain. They owe me for every breath they take, and it's my decision, mine, to decide how to raise them. Not anymore. That boy thinks he can defy me? He's lucky I didn't put him in the ground. Graham, enough. This interview's over, Detective. Your lawyer is going to start thinking deal, pleading all this down. Not going to happen.
Lee jabbed a finger on the copy of Zane's notebook page.
My mission in life. I'll have your badge. You won't be able to get work as a fucking mall guard when I'm done. Yeah.
Lee switched off the record, strolled out. It took time. Justice takes her time. But in just under a year, he lifted a beer and thought, mission accomplished. Chapter 7. Lee drove the lake road on a spring day with the mountains greening, the wildflowers popping, and his mood high. He had a lot on his mind, decisions to make, moves to take or not, but with the lake mirroring the happy blue of the sky, white boats, white clouds sailing, optimism was the name of his game. Good didn't always win. Right didn't always triumph. He'd been a cop long enough to know. So when it did, he freaking embraced it. He rounded the turn for the lake house, pulled into Emily's drive just as she climbed out of her truck. Even his timing was happy. She wore jeans with holes worn through both knees, a t-shirt the same cheerful color as the sky, and that orange hoodie she'd put on Britt in the stairwell of the hospital a year before. He'd heard Emily call it her lucky hoodie. Her hair streamed, dark as midnight, out of the back opening of a fielder's cap. He thought, with a quick jump of pleasure, she looked downright amazing. She pulled off sunglasses, stood watching him get out of the car, studying his face. It's good news. I can see it. Still, she lifted a hand, rubbed the heel between her breasts. But say it fast anyway, like you would bad news.
15 to 20. He's being transported to Central Prison in Raleigh.
After bracing a hand on the side of the truck, she let out a long, wavering breath, held up her other hand.
I need a minute.
Taking it, she walked away from the truck toward the lake. Hugging her arms in, she looked out over the water, that mirror blue. She felt the breeze, the warm balm of it blow light across her face, and breathed out again when she felt him walk up to stand behind her.
I was going to come in for the sentencing hearing this morning, even though you said not to. I didn't want to see him again. Told myself seeing his face when the jury brought back the guilty verdicts was enough. And still, when the kids left for school, I started to get dressed to come in.
Why didn't you?
Lanny, head housekeeper, couldn't make it in. Her kid's sick. My backup couldn't make it in. Emergency root canal. Lois, you know Lois, emergency backup to the backup had another cleaning job. We had two turnovers, the daily cleaning, and yay, we're full. Marcy couldn't handle it on her own, so...
She let out a steadier breath, reached back until he took her hand, stepped beside her.
I took it as a sign I just wasn't supposed to go in. Look at him one last time while the judge gave him his sentence. I even stopped thinking about it once I started scrubbing down bathrooms, changing bed linens.
She nodded, still looking out at the water.
20 years,
she murmured.
The kids will be practically as old as I am.
Parole?
He does a minimum of 15.
He won't get parole easy, Emily, and not likely on the first couple tries.
Put that away, Lee advised.
He's locked up where he belongs. The kids are safe.
You're right, and I can tell them that when they get home. Couple hours, a little more,
she added with a glance at her watch.
Do you have to go back to Asheville?
Not today.
It's barely 1 in the afternoon, but screw it, let's have a beer anyway.
He went in with her. He liked the ramble of the house and the fact it was never quite all the way tidied up. It held a lot of light and life. Throw pillows jumbled because somebody'd settled on the couch. A stray pair of shoes. Brits, he identified. Back in the kitchen, what was left of a bowl of fruit, not much, a vase of daffodils fading already, a jacket tossed over a chair, the coffee pot holding the dregs from the morning. I might still have some chips left, pretzels or something.
Don't worry about it.
After pulling off her cap, and her hair, all that midnight, seemed to float up, then spill down, she tossed it and her sunglasses on the counter.
I need to run to the store again. My God, those kids can eat. I'm still not used to it.
She pulled a pair of Heinekens from the refrigerator, popped the tops.
It's been a hell of a year, Detective Lee Keller. One hell of a year.
She angled her head after they tapped bottles.
There's something else.
She wagged a finger before he could deny it.
A hell of a year, she repeated. Too many ups and downs to count, and you've been here for us, Lee, thick, thin, and otherwise. I've gotten to know you, even that cop face. Don't hold it back. I need to know if—
It's nothing to do with the Bigelows.
Okay, good. Why don't we take these out to the front porch? Enjoy the view while you tell me what it is to do with. There's pretty much nothing I haven't dumped on you over this hell of a year.
Your turn. Actually, yeah. I'd like to run it by you.
They settled on the porch in a couple of chairs she kept meaning to sand and repaint one day. The breeze sent the wind chimes Britt had given her for her birthday singing. The lawn Zane had mowed for her that Saturday smelled green and fresh.
It's a good place, Emily. It's a good home you've made here.
I hope so.
You don't have to hope. I've watched you and the kids over this hell of a year, seen them change, relax little by little, lose that victim look in the eyes. It's been hard with the trial, with having to deal with it.
Counseling helped. It's still helping.
You've done everything right, given them a safe place and one that shows them what a home's supposed to be.
I didn't do it alone, that's for sure. My parents, God, they're like oaks. To say this hasn't been easy for them is the understatement of all understatements. She's their daughter too, Lee. Eliza's their child. But they stood up. My mama—
Emily closed her eyes, shook her head.
She only once broke down, and that was when it was just the two of us.
You come by your spine and your heart naturally. Oaks, that's a good term for it. Walkers are oaks with good, strong roots.
Well, I believe it. Zane and Britt are going through with having their name legally changed. They want Walker, so that's what they'll have.
I think that's the right thing all around.
So do I. You know, Lee, friends, neighbors, they stood up too. Stood up, stood by us. We couldn't have stayed in Lakeview otherwise.
It's a good place, Emily.
It is.
And she knew she'd be forever grateful to look out at the lake, look out to the hills, and know that.
The Carter family. The kids especially needed them. I needed them. They're always there. And you, Lee.
She laid her hand over his.
Especially you. I swear, I don't know what we'd have done without you.
I'm glad we don't have to know. Now, putting on a smile, she shifted to face him.
You tell me what's on your mind so I can do a little payback.
Okay. I had a meeting with Chief Bost. I've had a few, actually, but we met again today after the sentencing. Bost, me, and a few others.
That smile began to fade.
You said it wasn't about Graham.
It's not, or I guess you could call it a byproduct. Bost is turning in his papers.
His papers?
He's stepping down,
Lee explained.
Resigning. He wanted to see this through, and now it's through. He and his family are moving to Wilmington once the school year's done. It's the right thing for him.
She rocked a bit, as if her whole body nodded.
That's good from where I sit. I've harbored some hard feelings there. He came out, apologized to Zane, to all of us, face to face. But I've had hard feelings I couldn't let go of. I'm not going to be sorry Zane doesn't have to see him around.
The position's coming open. They offered it to me.
You?
She scooted around fully, smiling as she stared at him.
Well, that's a big surprise on a spring day. I don't mean to say we wouldn't be lucky to have you, but that's a serious sort of change for you. You're a city detective. Major crimes. Would you want to be a high country police chief?
Depends.
Clearing his throat, he shifted a little.
I like the town, the people. Like I said, it's a good place. Might be I'm ready for a change. I don't want to put any pressure on you about that or anything.
On me?
It's just...
He needed a good pull on his beer.
I've got a little time to think about it, figure if it's best all around. Or not. If it'd be awkward.
She wondered if she'd ever seen him look nervous and couldn't bring one instance to mind.
I'm just not following you.
Because I'm not doing this right. Let's back up. Do you want to have dinner?
Sure, I just have to make that run to the store.
She trailed off when she saw the slightest wince.
You mean like a date?
You and me?
I have to put down my beer.
She set the bottle down, pushed up, walked to the edge of the porch.
I didn't mean, we can all go.
She turned back. Not only nervous, she realized, but at the moment he looked downright embarrassed. Wasn't that the sweetest thing?
You did mean, and I'm what Britt calls processing that. A year, Lee, just a few weeks shy of a year since Britt and I walked up to you outside the police station, and you've never made a move. Not even a little sneaky step.
Of course I didn't. I wasn't going to muck up the case, the trial, you or the kids with hitting on you, for God's sake.
But you wanted to.
He drank more beer.
Well, yeah. Am I blind, deaf, stupid? You're beautiful, you've got brains, you're the strongest woman I've ever met, and you come with the biggest heart in the damn world, to my mind.
She leaned back against the post, as she felt places inside her she'd resigned to staying empty start to fill again, and all sort of warm and trembly.
I never got that read off you, Detective Lee Keller, not even once.
You had enough to think about, to deal with, and the kids. The last thing they needed was somebody moving in on their aunt when they needed her to steady their world.
I owe you so much.
He set down his beer, a little harder than he intended, and pushed to his feet.
That's just what I don't want in this, just where we're not going. I'm not going to have you feel obligated to give me a shot. I'm not settling for that, and neither should you.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right about that.
We got to be friends, and that's fine. If you're not interested in...
She grabbed him by the tie, yanked him to her, and shut him up. Just right, she thought. Oh, God, just right. When she moved her hand from his tie to his face, she smiled at him.
You're a detective. What do you deduce about my interest?
Seems piqued.
With a laugh, she wrapped around him.
I've thought about you. Thought about this. Don't be needy, Emily. Don't push in just because he's just right. So I didn't make a move either.
He pressed her back against the post so he could kiss her again and fall into the kiss, the give of her body.
So that's a yes about dinner?
I'll cook tonight. You'll stay. The kids will need that when we tell them about Graham. Now, Saturday night, I'd like a genuine date.
You've got it.
He closed his eyes, held her.
I was afraid you'd start seeing someone else before this was done.
Me too. About you.
Drawing back, she took him by the tie again.
Come on with me.
Now? Right now?
He said, as she pulled him to the door and through.
Kids won't be home for some time. Instead of going to the store, we'll just make do with what we've got in the pantry. It's time, Detective Lee Keller. We both made our moves.
Better make that Chief Keller, he told her, as they started upstairs. I'm taking the job.
He not only took the job, but by June he moved into the house on the lake. In a few months, with the mountains flaming with fall, the lake shimmering under in the sunlight, they married. When Zane entered his senior year in Lakeview High, he went as Zane Walker. It didn't erase all the years of Bigelow, but it made him feel better about himself. He kept his grades up, his room tidy, both out of habit and a fear that would linger for years. He hung with Micah, worked out with Dave, teased his sister. He did his chores, helped out with the family business, thought about girls. He went to counseling. If he sometimes woke in a cold sweat, he could get up, go to the window, and remind himself what side of the lake he lived on now. He could remember there was no one just down the hall who'd storm in, use fists on him. All that was over. So was his most cherished dream. Zane Walker would never play professional baseball. Scouts would not come calling. He could play pickup games, town leagues if he wanted, but his arm was no longer a rocket, and never would be again. More than his elbow had shattered the night he'd fallen down the stairs. His dreams, every one that really mattered, shattered with it. He hadn't given them up, not right away. He'd dealt with the surgery, the recovery time, the physical therapy. When Dr. Marshall gave him the go-ahead, he started lifting again. He built back the muscles, but he couldn't build back the full range of motion. Not what was needed to wing a ball from the hole to first. Not in the majors. Not even, he had to accept, in college ball. All he'd ever wanted for as long as he could remember, the one thing he was really good at and loved right down to his bones. Poof. Over. He'd even broken down in therapy over it. Embarrassing. But Dr. DeMar had understood, or seemed to. He didn't have to just get over it, like, boom, oh well. He was allowed to be sad. To be angry. Since he was both already, he didn't need permission. But it helped to have it. It helped that Emily didn't nag at him to stop sulking or bitching. And Dave let him sweat it out or vent. And Lee, who knew Lee and Emily would, you know. Lee dug on baseball almost as much as Zane. Could talk statistics. Had a pretty good arm himself. He'd played right field with the cops back in Asheville. He moved through it, though he often stretched out on his bed with a ball in his hand, rubbing the stitching. He knew he needed a new plan, but it was hard to see past the shards of his dream. Still, he had to consider his options because college loomed. Where it once represented freedom, college now stood vague and cloudy, a path cloaked in shadows, riddled with pits. Medicine? Never. Even though he admired Dave and his work as an EMT, he'd never go near being a doctor. His grades would help him get into a good school. Maybe part of pushing himself there came from residual fear, but good solid grades helped. When he thought about it, he guessed he liked his lit and history classes best. But where did that get him? He didn't want to teach. Serious gack on that. He could write okay, but didn't want to try to go there either. Military? No way. He already felt he'd lived his life regimented, under orders, in freaking uniform. His thumb and fingers stroked the stitching on the ball, slowly caressing the waxed red thread. He thought being a cop might be cool. Lee was cool, and he'd like, a lot, putting bad guys away. Without Lee, who knew if Graham would be behind bars? He wanted to put people like Graham behind bars. So, Maybe. He started reading books about criminal justice and law and how it all worked. He had a lot of first-hand experience on that, too. The more he read, the more he thought while stretched out on his bed, rubbing the stitching on his baseball, the more he began to see a path, not so shadowed and pitted. Not just a path, he decided, a purpose. He spent a lot of time working out the best way to hike the path, to reach the goal. He wanted a map of the twists, turns, potential pitfalls before he talked about it. Talking about it made it real. If he made this his hope, no more dreams, but hope he could maybe handle. But if that cracked, he didn't know what the hell he'd do. He took a chance, gathered up that hope, and walked downstairs. Britt had some after-school deal, and Lee would pick her up at the end of his shift. So for now, it was just Emily, and that's where he wanted to start. She had something simmering on the stove that smelled like comfort on a cool, rainy night. While its warmth drenched the air and that rain pattered outside, she sat at the counter with her laptop. She looked so happy. Happy just shined over her like light. That was Lee, he supposed, because they fit together like they'd always been. He didn't know what to make of it exactly. His parents had fit. Rough, jagged, shiny pieces all dark and gritty underneath. But his aunt and Lee? That fit smooth and easy, so the whole house worked like the stew on the stove. A comfort. He'd owe them both for the rest of his life. She looked up when he came all the way in, that happy all over her. Even as she beamed a smile at him, she flushed a little, closed the laptop in a way he recognized. Secrets. Hey, pal, how's it going?
Okay, that smells really good.
Chicken stew. Gonna make some dumplings to top it off. I had a yin.
Do you need some help?
Not yet, but maybe at dumpling time. Something's on your mind. Sit down, let me have it. He knew she meant it, knew she really wanted to know, knew she'd listen. And still nerves jittered up his back.
Well, okay. Here's the thing.
He sat, shifted, forgot his pitch altogether.
I've been thinking about college.
Was it relief he saw rush over her face? Support he felt when her hand covered his and squeezed? That's good, Zane. What are you thinking?
My grades are good.
They're several degrees up from good. They're stellar. When he hesitated, she gave his hand another squeeze. Let's just put this out there. I know, I really know how hard it is for you to lose the dream of playing pro ball. The doctor said you could try college ball, so...
I'd be second rate.
Oh, Zane, you're so hard on yourself.
I'd never be good enough. That's just how it is. And I couldn't take not being good enough.
It hurt more than he could tell her to think of it.
I have to put it away. I've thought about other things. You know they expected me to be a doctor.
It's not about what they expected ever again. It's about what you want, and what you want, Zane, I'm going to want for you.
I don't want to be a doctor. I wondered about other stuff, but nothing really hit.
You don't have to decide. College is about exploration, too.
But I did decide. I want to go to law school. First, you have to get the BA, and that takes like 2.5 to 4 years. Then it's law school, and that's another 3.
She sat back, studying him, very carefully. You want to study law? Be a lawyer?
Yeah.
And now that he'd said it, it was real.
I want to try. English and history are my best things, and that's a good foundation for it. I took that political science deal, and I was okay there. UVA, University of Virginia, it's in Charlottesville. That's only about 350 miles away, so I could come home for stuff. And it's a good school for the foundation again, if I can get in.
You've spent some time on this, she acknowledged.
I needed to find out if I could make it work.
First thing, she lifted her fingers, tapped them at her eyes. Look right here. Is it what you want? Nothing else but that. What you want. Man, he loved her, because he knew, bottom line, she meant just that. what he wanted.
It really is. I mean, it's what I want to try. I want to be a prosecutor. I thought about cop, but it doesn't feel right. This does.
Zane, this is great.
Because he looked in her eyes, he saw the glimmer of tears.
You'll be great. A lawyer. My granddaddy was a lawyer. Town lawyer right here in Lakeview.
Yeah, I guess I knew. There are a lot of scholarships I can try for, and I can get a part-time job now to start saving. Then there are student loans and all that, and I can work in college. It could take 7 years, then I'd have to pass the bar. Sometimes you can get a clerkship, like with a firm or a judge, and if I can work summer courses or programs, I can maybe cut it down a year. Still,
let's backtrack.
Leaning forward, she brushed at the hair he'd let grow out. Dark as her own, it curled a bit around his face, over his collar.
Are you under the impression you have to pay for your education?
They're never going to turn over the college fund, and I don't want their money, even if we could make them. I can't take money from you, I just can't.
Now she sat back, crossed her arms.
You think you can stop me from helping you?
You help me every day.
She uncrossed her arms, took his face in her hands.
You need to stop worrying about this. Your grandparents already intend to pay for college for you and Britt.
She shot up a finger to stop him before he could object.
That's what family does. We didn't tell you because it felt like pressure. What if you decided not to go to college or take a gap year or go to trade school? Now you've decided what you want. You'll call them, tell them, and you'll thank them.
She sat back again.
That said, I'm not saying you shouldn't work. Pay some of your expenses. That's responsibility. You can work for me like you did over the summer, or do something else. As long as it doesn't interfere with school.
It could take 7 years. It could cost...
She tapped a finger on his lips.
Stop. It's loving and generous of them, and that you'll remember. They not only can afford to do it, but part of them needs to. You'll let them. You'll give this to them.
Then she laughed.
Zane Walker, S freaking Squire, I love it.
She grabbed hold of him, hugged.
Let's make dumplings.
She started to jump up, wobbled, had to grip the counter as she went pale, swayed. So Zane jumped.
Sit down. Are you okay? Jesus, Emily.
I'm okay. Just got up too fast. Woof.
She sat down, put her head between her knees.
Something's wrong.
He patted her back, then rushed to get her a glass of water.
You're sick. I'll call Lee.
I'm not sick.
But her voice was thin and muffled.
Just give me a second.
He set the water down, stroked her back, her hair.
I'm calling Lee.
Lee already knows.
As the bottom dropped out of his world, he started to crouch down, but she straightened up, slowly. Her color had come back, thank God. She blew out a breath, then another, picked up the water for a few sips.
Better. Okay, well, you told me your thing, so I guess now I'll tell you mine.
He braced himself for the worst, the very worst, as she lifted the top of the laptop, woke it up. She turned the screen toward him.
9 weeks. Pregnant? Pregnant?
She let out a laugh, a whole roll of happy as his gaze automatically went to her belly.
I'm not showing yet, but I'm starting to have trouble buttoning my jeans.
You're pregnant.
He couldn't quite get the concept into his head, his body.
We were going to wait a couple more weeks to tell you and Britt, but hey, you caught me. I found out about a month before the wedding. Surprise!
That laugh rolled out again.
We were going to try, you know. Never expected it would happen so fast.
You're really happy.
Are you kidding? We're flying. It's been hard not to tell you. Tell everyone. Friends, neighbors, total strangers. But we wanted to give you and Britt more time to settle in, school starting and all that. And to give this one a little more time to settle in, too.
She laid a hand on her belly.
I get a little lightheaded. That's normal. No morning sickness, which is nice. Are you okay with this?
He had to sit down himself.
Britt and I can start doing more stuff around the house, the bungalows. And you can sit here, okay, and tell me how to make the dumplings. Just sit while I do it. That's my cousin. You're going to have my cousin.
Another normal, she told him as tears spilled. I got teary this morning when Lee said he'd pick up Britt after play practice.
You really love him.
I really do.
Lee and Dave, they're the best men I know.
Oh, there I go again.
This time she dug in her pocket for a tissue.
Tell you what, before dumplings, let's call Grams and Pop. We'll give them a double dose of good news, yours and mine. I can have a good cry before I show you how we make dumplings in our house.
Good deal. Emily?
His grin stretched ear to ear.
This is really cool.
In the spring, Emily gave birth to a healthy boy with a head of dark hair and a set of lungs that would have made Pavarotti proud. They named him Gabriel. During that busy, blooming spring, Zane took a pretty blonde named Orchid to the prom, his romance with Ashley having faded, and had his first full-out sexual experience. He decided sex, the real thing, ranked right up there with baseball. Britt took on the role of Rizzo in the spring musical of Grease, fell briefly if madly in love with a gangly sophomore who handed her her first heartbreak. Zane received his acceptance letter from UVA, breathed out in relief and trepidation. He graduated, and though the whole ceremony seemed a blur of endings and beginnings, he found all he needed to find. Micah, waiting for his turn to cross the stage. Dave giving Zane a fist pump. His grandparents looking misty-eyed. His sister just grinning. Lee holding the baby so Emily could stand and cheer. His world. His true foundation. He had to build something on it that mattered. Part 2. Homecomings. Home is where one starts from. T.S. Eliot. You don't have to swing hard to hit a home run. If you got the timing, it'll go. Yogi Berra. Chapter 8. February 2019. Darby hadn't stuck a pin in a map to choose Lakeville, North Carolina. She'd had a system. She wanted south, but not deep south. She wanted water, but not the ocean. No big cities, but not too rural. And she wanted to look out windows, wherever that might be, and see growing things, trees, gardens. Eventually, she'd want to make connections, make friends, but no real rush on it. And she wanted time, needed time. She gave herself that. Wherever